That has been the ambition of many, many men throughout the ages. The United States has been the bulwark, the defense against these men. We are trying in our little way in the state of Illinois to show the communists that they are unwanted, that we are set to deal with them. We know who some of them are. They have been denounced by the FBI. They have been denounced by even newspaper reporters who have been able to secrete themselves in their organizations. They are known, a great portion of such organizations. Their plans are known. This is not fantasy. It's real. All you have to do is just read your daily paper, and it will show you. Even yesterday, I believe it was, you read where the president gave the board in Washington the right of a reasonable doubt. Heretofore, they had never had that right, not to hire. If they had a reasonable doubt, they had to hire them anyway. Now, if they have a reasonable doubt that they may be subversive, they may be communists, they are not hired. But it has to be a reasonable doubt. We are trying to tighten the lines, to guard our freedom. And I believe that we are making a step forward in Illinois with Senate Bill 102. I should also like to say that all through Illinois, the Legion, the VFW, all the veterans organizations have studied this bill in executive session. There have been several church groups, all sorts of church groups, that have studied this bill in executive session. And they have made very favorable comment, and we have received, the sponsor and myself, telegrams and letters that support that idea that we are trying to do something for our state. I thank you very much.
We will now hear from the third and final speaker for the negative, Senator Gray of East St. Louis.
Chairman, ladies and gentlemen, I had intended to follow the admonitions of the chairman and not indulge in any personalities, but inasmuch as I am a total stranger to almost everyone here, and inasmuch as Mr. Hodges has seen fit to indicate the various types of persons that he thought were opposing this bill, and to, at the conclusion of this list of screwballs, to tell you that there were undoubtedly a sprinkling of good Americans and so on who opposed this type of legislation, I presume that he included me in that latter group. However, to remove any doubt, the only party I have ever belonged to is the Democratic Party. I have never belonged to any Communist Front organization. I've never had the slightest bit of sympathy with them. I am a past commander of my American Legion post, a past judge advocate of my VFW post. I am, by religious preference, a Roman Catholic. I am a first lieutenant in the Counterintelligence Corps Reserve. I think if there's any question of my loyalty, that those antecedents should settle it. I am opposed to Senate Bill 102 for three reasons. I believe it to be, first, unconstitutional. Second, I believe it to be immoral. And third, I believe it to be impractical. I believe it to be unconstitutional for the simple reason that it attempts to define an old crime by giving it a new name and requiring that you don't have to prove it. Under our constitutional system, we have a provision that no person shall be convicted of treason except on the testimony of two witnesses in open court to an overt act. That is not mere verbiage. It was put into our federal constitution, and I believe the same general wording is in our state constitution, for a very specific purpose. Looking back into history, the men who wrote our constitution knew that every tyrant, whether it be a king, a parliamentary majority, could very easily eliminate their opposition by the simple process of referring to them as traitors. That has been done throughout history. Every time a tyrant wanted to get rid of someone whom he didn't like, whom he thought was dangerous, he merely described him as a traitor and said, off with his head and we'll be rid of him. We eliminated that by requiring that before anybody can be accused of such or convicted of such a crime, that they must be faced with their accusers in open court and that there must be testimony to an overt act. Now, by attempting to make bad enough the joining of an organization an overt act, I think we're clearly getting out of constitutional limits. But even further, we make an overt act out of failing to resign from an organization. This bill, setting up what is known as a subversive organization, indicates that if you fail to resign from such an organization or fail to, I don't know exactly what they want you to do, whether it's some organization perhaps that you had been in that was a legitimate organization to start with, that had been taken over by communists and was unquestionably, say, communist-dominated organization, what are you supposed to do? Is it enough to quit going to meetings, to quit paying dues? Or do you run the risk of 5 years later finding yourself charged with a penitentiary offense because you failed to send in a letter of resignation? Suppose you sent in a letter of resignation but didn't keep a copy of it. How are you to defend yourself? I think the answer to the constitutional problem here is simply this. We have, as Dean Spaulding has pointed out, a very real menace to our government, to our security, to our way of life. Our people are sincerely worried about it. They recognize the danger that we're in. They want to do something about it. The trouble is that the proponents of this bill, along with some other people, are hunting for an easy way out. There is no easy way out in democracy. I say to you that this bill, in my opinion, is immoral because it attempts to tell someone that you can't believe in this or you can't believe in that. I don't think that we have any right to do that. I certainly do not believe that any man has the right to overthrow this government. I don't believe that he has the right to conspire with other people to overthrow it. But beyond that, I believe that any man has the right to believe in anything he sees fit, as an economic or a social doctrine. He has the right to associate with other people who see eye to eye with him on those problems. He has the right to meet and to assemble, as guaranteed in our Constitution, and to speak and to write freely about his views. Now, these do not apply merely, say, to my Republican friends who disagree with me or to my right to disagree with them. I believe with Judge Holmes that if we believe in freedom of thought at all, we've got to believe in freedom of thought for the thought we hate. I am not afraid to stand the ideals of America in the open market of truth. I believe that we not only cannot be beaten, I believe that our superiority is so overwhelming that there will be virtually no contest. The proponents of this type of repressive legislation will say, wait a minute, you've forgotten something. The Communist Party is more than just a political party. It isn't just a political party, it's a worldwide conspiracy. That's perfectly true. I think it's so obvious that only an idiot would deny that. But they are forgetting that the converse is true also. That the political conspiracy, which is the Communist Party, is also a political party. You cannot eliminate the conspiracy by outlawing the party. You simply cannot beat communism by adopting its own methods. Now, incidentally, I think that keeping the Communist Party above board and keeping it, if necessary, alive is a very healthy thing for American democracy. I think if we outlaw it, we're going to make martyrs out of them. We're going to give them a glamour that they'll never achieve any other way. You know, most people inherit their political beliefs. Most people change them very seldom, or with the greatest reluctance, any of us change our political beliefs. Occasionally, some misguided Republican, some unfortunate Republican, rather, sees the light and comes over to our side, and occasionally, some misguided Democrat forgets the faith of his fathers. But by and large, those of us who have party beliefs are either born with those beliefs or we come to them early in life and we do not change them. The same thing cannot be said about the Communist Party. Throughout the history of the Communist Party, there is no question that they have the most tremendous turnover of party membership, of party sympathy, of any political organization in history. The answer is very simple, that they're able to fool a few people for a short time, many people say, for a short time, they're able to fool a few idiots completely and forever. They'll always swallow whatever they're told. But by and large, truth will win out. The people of this country are intelligent enough to throw over any political belief if it's as idiotic and as untruthful as the Communist Party flip-flops have been in the last 15 years. Now, from a practical standpoint, I do not believe that this type of legislation is wise or desirable. I think, as I have said, that it will result in driving the Communist Party further underground, make it harder for us to combat them, make it harder for us to stultify their aims, and perhaps help us, or help them to achieve their purposes. I think that the present laws, as one of my colleagues has told you, are by and large sufficient. I think that they perhaps could be changed in places, that we could have a stronger penalty for sedition, that we could have a longer statute of limitations on espionage. I think that there are several changes that could be made, both in our federal law and in our state law, perhaps to strengthen our hand in the field of espionage and counter-espionage. However, this bill is not such a bill and does not go into that. At its best, it repeats what we already have in law. The present laws make it illegal to advocate overthrow of the government, to assemble, to go to meetings, to print matter, and so on, as has been outlined to you. This bill, in its best, does nothing but stir up muddied waters when it duplicates the existing legislation. But primarily, however, this is a federal matter. The security of our country is not in the hands of state officials. Now, whether this is a wise move or not, I think that there's practically no argument on that. It's something that state officials can't, by the nature of their jobs, by the nature of the state. You can't have 48 separate people charged with the security of a nation. It's got to be a federal matter. Now, if we're going to have a federal matter on this, I question whether, as I say, whether it would be wise to outlaw the Communist Party at all. But if it is done, it should be done on a federal scale. If we arrive through our representatives in Congress at the conclusion that we have a clear and present danger which justifies us in limiting the freedom of speech and freedom of assembly of certain of our people, then I say let us courageously go ahead and do that if we think it's necessary. But let's not get into the absurd situation where we would have a political party illegal in Illinois, legal in Missouri, illegal in Nebraska, legal in some other states. That, I think, would only result in complete confusion and would do our security much more harm than good. I think that you should leave security in the hands of experts, in the hands of people who know what they're doing. We have seen in the furor that's been raised about Communist Party agents and so on in the last 4 or 5 years that it has been necessary for the FBI and for our intelligence agents to reveal the existence and the identity of, I think, in newspapers, I can remember offhand, a half a dozen at least, of agents whom we had gone to the trouble of and spent money and so on over a period of 10, 15 years of planting them in the Communist Party. Those people, their mission, their usefulness now is ended. For what? To get two or three small fry, because there was a lot of commotion raised about one thing or another. I don't think that's smart. I don't think that that's a good thing for the security of our country. I think that we should leave security in the hands of experts. We should certainly keep the security of our country out of the hands of politics. Senator Broyles has said that the worst crime that can be committed is that of treason. I agree with him. I think that I would advocate making treason, where proven under our Constitution, a mandatory death penalty, both in peacetime and in war. I don't believe, however, that this type of legislation is going to protect us against traitors. I think it's going to confuse and becloud the issue. There's been a great deal of quotation tonight from Tom Jefferson. I think that he said the last word on this subject. If there be those among us who would destroy this government or abolish its Republican form, let them stand unmolested as monuments to the safety where which error of opinion may be tolerated if reason is left free to combat it. Thank you.